water of life freely. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, old buddy. If you have your Bible, turn over to an Old Testament event that took place many years ago. Yet I still think that we can learn from this a lot. And 1 Samuel, if you will, chapter 17. And I'll be honest with you, this message kindly has came through two different sources to me. And so, first of all, Chris and I was just chit-chatting a few days ago, and we were talking about Goliath and, you know, the situation there with how big he was, and we were just chit-chatting about that. And then yesterday at Sandra Overman's funeral, I was reading and studying about that, because Sandra was said her theme for her life was, I am a warrior. So I began to read about David, and I used him as an example in her life yesterday at that memorial service. And the more I read it, the more I felt like God was speaking to me and said, this is what I want you to do tomorrow night in the service. Now, you know the story. There's probably very, very little that I could add to that. Very little I could add to it at all. But yet I believe there's some things I believe that the Lord would have me to share with you. Again, when you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, I don't know right off the top of my head how many words is in the Bible, how many verses is in the Bible, and how many commas is in the Bible. And Phineas Dake has that written down in the Dake Bible, and I could go and find that information pretty much easily. But yet, when we read the Scripture, to me, it's just like if I'm just reading it, it's just like words pop off of the page at me. And I see certain things, and as I'm doing that, it's like God is speaking to me through those certain words. And you might go back and read it again later, and those words may not jump off at you. You know what I mean? And that's the way it happens to me. I don't know how it happens with you, but that's the way it happens with me. And that's where just about everything I study and everything I develop comes out of what I feel like the Lord has just shown me on certain pages of the Scripture. And that's how this happened. I think about the church today. I think about why we're here, and I think about soul winning, and I think about what I believe God would have us to do in the future. David is one of the premier biblical characters throughout the Scripture that we would look at and say, I want to live a life like David. Well, I want to be to the place that I know the God that David did, but I don't want to live David's life. If you go back and look at David's life, David did not have an easy life by no stretch of the imagination. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, I just want to read a few verses and then go backwards, and then hopefully by about 10:30 we'll be done tonight. I'm just kidding with you. Because it would take that long to dissect it and go through it, in my opinion. So in 1 Samuel chapter 17, verse 21. Verse 21. Let me make sure I'm in the right place, because I can probably tell you I already wrote it down wrong. First, I don't know why I did that. Let me correct this real quick. Because I looked at it and I said, well, that's not right. Chapter 16, Jan. I'm sorry. I thought, that's not right. Chapter 16. Verse 21. And we look into the Scripture, and you know what? I'm still in the wrong place. It's been a day, I can tell you. Hold on. Hold on. Y'all love me and I love you. It is 17. Hallelujah. It is 17. All right. Hold on. Let me write it, change it on my notes. I ain't gonna change it. All right, here we go. I said it right. You had it right. I had it wrong. Just a devil's playground. He's just trying to mess. But I've done this long enough to where I don't get too embarrassed over a whole lot of anything. Verse 21. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. How many of you know That was a confused mess right there. If you've ever watched any type of barbaric TV shows like the Vikings or anything, and I watched very little of that stuff because I don't particularly like it, but I can imagine in my mind how that would have been that way. It was like a total chaotic fight going on, one against the other, and all that was going on in the battle. And this is what actually was going on at that time. David, in verse 22, was the little lad that was chosen of God, and we'll get into him a little bit later on. David was probably in the backdrop of this situation because he had some food and he was bringing food down. And in this, David seen all this that was going on. In verse number 22, David said, the Bible said David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. His brethren were there. You can read their names when you look at this, and his brethren was already there. Eliab and Abinadab and Shammah, they were already in the battle. You can read that in the first part of that. I'm glad I found my place, aren't you? But they were already in the battle. They were already in the middle of all this. David seen his brethren there. And then he says in 22, he left the keeper in the carriage where David had brought food down. And then he says this, and this is where his brethren begins to get upset, because this is me, because David was the little brother. David was supposed to be safe. David was supposed to be at home. David was supposed to stay in the carriage, if you will. David was not supposed to get in harm's way. But there was something in the life of David that drew him into the battle. Can I go ahead and let the cat out of the bag? It was a warrior spirit. It was something that was in David's life. Watch this. That David was determined to make a difference. And I believe myself and we as a church, we have to have that mentality that we were not put here just to kindly float through life and eat Oreo cookies and drink milk. That God put us here on this earth for a purpose, and that purpose was to make a difference for His glory. I want to make a difference. I want to be a difference maker. I want to do things the way that God would be pleased with my life, and that God would get the glory out of my life. We see this again in verse 23. David left the carriage. He went down, and he starts eavesdropping. He starts bending his ear towards the conversations that's going on there. And what was it that David heard? You can see that in verse 23. And the Bible said, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the words, and David heard them. Now, I don't know exactly what that conversation, I don't know anything about what that conversation was. But whatever it was, David heard the story and David heard the conversation, and something within David, and again, this is me, something that David heard changed his perspective of what he was doing there. David at that time, as the Bible says, it said he heard them, and all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and they were very, very afraid, if you will. So when the men of Israel seen this great big guy, different opinions about the commentaries and different things say different things. But actually, if you look this up, according to what I found, Goliath was a great big guy. I don't know how big Goliath was. But different commentaries say different things. He was from anywhere from 6.9 foot tall. Another one said he was 9.9 inches tall. But if you go back and really do the span and all that he was there, that where the Bible describes him, 6 cubits in span, this is what Chris and I was talking about. That joker was like 11.35 foot tall. And somebody said, well, I don't believe that. Well, however big he was bigger than David. It was bigger than David, and David looked at him. And now look, you got to look at what David saw. And David saw this, and he heard the conversation, and he saw all of that. And then look at this in verse number 24. And it said, when he saw the men, they fled from him. I mean, they took tail and run. They were running because they were so filled with fear of what was going on in the life of Israel at that time, and how that Goliath was there and he was actually going and sending out threats against the children of Israel. This is like the devil, ain't it? Somebody said one time, this man I heard preaching one time said the devil's like a big pit bulldog on a chain. He can't come but so far. All he can do is stand in the corner and whoop, 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 but he can't come but so far. And like this situation, David knew something that these other people didn't know because of what David had already experienced. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. But we can see that David had an encounter with God. We can see that in the earlier part of chapter number 16. And again, I don't have the time to go back and talk about all that. You've read the Bible. You know what it says. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time there, but when God had rejected Saul because of what Saul had done, they went looking for a replacement. Now, you would never think that David would be a replacement for the king, really? No. David's nothing more than just a youth, just a little ruddy guy. But we can see this in just a few minutes. I'll get back into that, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. But anyway, in verse 25, the Bible said, and these men, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up? Conversations again. Surely to defy Israel is he come up, and it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king, will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and taketh away the reproach from Israel? Now look in verse 26, it said, for who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? Now again, let me say this. David had something about David that was much different than the others that was there. Even though David was anointed, we know that he had not come into his kingship as of yet. But he was already anointed king. He was already anointed by Samuel to be the next king of Israel. We know the story. We can read the timeline on it. So David had already had a change of his spirit. Let me say this before I move forward in this message. Because you and I this evening, I believe this with everything within me. I believe it with all the fiber within me, that there is a difference between the saved and the unsaved. There is a difference when God has laid His hand on your life and anointed you for a purpose and a reason. David's life at that point, he realized that I have a purpose in my life. I have a reason in my life. A lot of times we never do any more than we've ever done. It's because we never really discover the purpose that God has for our life. God has a purpose for you. God has a purpose for me. Your purpose may not be my purpose. My purpose may not be your purpose. But don't ever go and think that God don't have a purpose for your life, because He did. David at this time was discovering his purpose for his life for this time in the story. And we read the story and we see how it goes along. And it says of how that, as we read this in chapter number 17, David was there and David was having a conversation with the men of Israel, and the people answered him and said, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. Verse 27 into 28. Verse 28, Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why comest down hither? In other words, why in the world are you down here around all this that's going on, around the battlefront? Why in the world are you even where that Goliath even has an opportunity to look at your face and see who you are? And Eliab said, hey, young'un, you should have stayed up there in the carriage. You shouldn't be down here where we're at. You could get yourself hurt. You could get yourself killed. You better skedaddle and get on back up there where you need to be. That might have been why he got mad at him. There might have been other reasons why he got mad at him, but that's the reason I thought of, because of the way he says it here in the scripture. And he says, why camest thou hither, and whom hast thou left with those few sheep in the wilderness with? In other words, you've neglected your job to be down here. Go back up there. I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou might see the battle. In other words, his brother was accusing him to impure motives. You've come down here for this time to just to be nosy. And in this, we can see that David said in the next verse, 29, and I love this when he says this. He says, and David said, what have I now done? In other words, what have I done wrong by coming down here? What have I done? And then David at that time, he looked back at Eliab and he looked at him and he said, is there not a cause? Is there not a reason for me to be here? And then that's where this thing really spoke to my heart, is because I think about the cause. I think about, you know, you and I, that there is a cause for even the church today. There's a cause in all that we endeavor to do today. Even what I do, and sometimes I get fumbuzzled and I get frustrated and all that, just like you do. But I think about the bigger picture. I think about why we do what we do. Why are we having church? And why are we even trying to do what we do? We're doing this for God. We're doing this because it's an appointment. We're doing this because that God said that we've got to go and do His work while it's day. And because He says that night time comes when no man can work. And whatever we're doing, we need to do now. David, when I begin to think about David, I begin to think about how, and you look at this, and David looked at this situation, and this is one of the things that I thought about. If there is not a cause today, we think about this in the scripture of how that David wrote this in verse number 29, verse number 30. It says, and he turned from him toward another, and he spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. Verse, we look on down through here, and he says, and these words were heard, which David spake. They rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent him. Several things I begin to think about. I thought about David. When the Bible begins to say here, is there not a cause? Now, when you read through this story, and again, I'll get the most of it tonight. I may not get to all of it. This is the first thing that I begin to think about. David's dilemma, David's situation. David's situation, when he talked about Goliath, when he talked about fighting the giant. First of all, we go back into verse 16, chapter 16. And we remember what God had already said to David. David, in my view, had already been anointed king, and we see that. But David, again, was this little ruddy guy from watching the sheep, and he was on the backside of the desert, if you will, and all of Jesse's sons, you know the story, had came up before Samuel, and that's not him, and that's not him, and that's not him. Samuel, being the prophet that he was, knew that God had sent him there to Jesse's house. Samuel might have said, well, what in the world's going on now? I know that God sent me here. Have you not got just one more? Have you not got just one more somewhere? Well, I do, but you don't want him. You don't want him. He's just a little ruddy guy, and there's no strength in him. And I begin to think about that, how that in our culture today. Now, follow me through this. This is, again, just my heart and how that I feel. So many times we look at people and we think they're throwaway people. We think that there's really no purpose in them. And we, I say we, as a large general scale of society, we try to call out, if you will, who's important and who's not important. Who's usable and who's not usable. Does that make sense to anybody? And a lot of time we look upon individuals, whether it's a cultural thing or whether it's a gender thing or whatever the case may be, and we try to make decisions about who God can use and who God can't use. Hey, I got a news alert for everybody that's hearing me, whether online or whether here in the building. I believe that when God gets ready to use you, that you're the best you that God will ever find. When God got ready to use David, David was the best David that God needed at that time. We look back in chapter 16, and the Bible says, if you look at this, in verse number 6, it says here in the Word, and it said, and it came to pass that they come, and they looked on Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. Now this again is the same guy that was down there with David after David got out of the carriage, and then Eliab looked back at David and said, what are you doing here? I don't know this. I have no idea, but maybe Eliab at that time thought he was going to be the next king. I don't know that, but I kind of feel that as I read this. What are you doing here? Isn't it amazing when God begins to promote people and promote individuals, the others will stand back sometimes in the background and say, well, what are they doing? Who are they? Oh, I like this one. Well, just who do they think they are? You know, now that don't happen at Thomasville, but I've seen stuff like that happen in my days. Because people get positions, or people get a certain level of prestige, or people get a certain level of recognition. But see, that was what was going on here with David. But God said in this next verse, when you look in verse number 7, and I absolutely love this verse because it says, but the Lord said to Samuel, look not on his countenance, don't look on him on the outside, watch this, or his height or his stature, because I have refused him, for the Lord seeth not as man seeth, for man looketh on the outward appearance, but the Lord looketh on the heart. Eliab, don't look on Eliab's stature, don't look at his countenance, don't look at how good looking he is, but look at the simple fact of his heart. I believe this with everything within me. If God can find a heart after him, God can make up everything else with his anointing. And I'm praying for Thomasville. I'm praying for every person in this room. I'm saying, oh God, that we be found pure before you. That we be found pure before you, God, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. And that God, listen, that God would anoint every person in this room with a brand new anointing and a brand new fresh anointing, that all of us would be able to see the glory of God in our lives. You know why? Because when the glory of God gets on you, it's going to get on everybody else around you. Amen. Everybody around you is going to know that you've been in the presence of the Lord. They took David, they anointed David. Oh, the beard, just like old Aaron, the Bible talked about the oil that came down upon Aaron's beard, even down to his skirt. Hey, they didn't do a little dabble do you on the forehead. They poured a hen. They poured oil up on you. And it come down through the beard on the coat. And it was a fragrance. And when they went out among the people, hey, guess what? There was a sweet aroma. There was a sweetness about those that are anointed. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying if you want to be anointed of God, stay sweet. Keep a humbleness about you. But, and I know I struggle every now and then like the rest of you. But my friend, I want to stay sweet. I don't want to be taken advantage of no more than you do. But I want to have a good spirit about me. Come on, somebody. And David was in that. Now, there's several things that I saw when I read this. There's several more things I saw. And I'm going to try my best to stick to the outline for the next 20 minutes if I can. So what did I see about David? First of all, when I look at this, when David saw, I'm going back to chapter 17, when David saw Goliath, now this is very important. No doubt David knew, and thank you, Chris. No doubt David knew that there was a giant in front of him. That was easy enough to see. He was a big old guy, wasn't he? Big old tall feller. It looked like it was an impassable situation with Goliath. No doubt, reading this and seeing it and hearing it all my life about David and Goliath, it seemed like that Goliath was the ringleader of the Philistine army, if you will. Everybody was afraid of Goliath. But David, watch this. David viewed Goliath. Well, I love this. David viewed Goliath as an opportunity rather than being victimized by his enemy. Hello, somebody. It was an opportunity that was in front of David, little as much when God is in it. It was an opportunity in front of David to reveal the glory of God, that God's glory would be seen. David saw past, watch this, David saw past his enemy to bring deliverance and That was the reason and that was the cause. Listen, as a pastor and leadership in this church, we must get to the place that we're not doing what we're doing to stroke our own ego and say, look at me and look at my position and look what I do. No, no, my friend. We've got to be willing to be servants of God and look past ourselves and understand, hey, I might go through a few things, but watch out, devil, here we come. Because when I get through it, I want God to get the glory out of it. I've been told preaching that you don't have to scream. I've tried to calm myself down for years. Every now and then I still get one of them hollering spirits on me, and I feel it right now. I feel like I've walked through hell elbow deep, and I'm going to keep on walking. God put this message on me a few days ago. Hey, sometimes you know what you know, and you know what you're talking about. Come on, somebody. But you go through what you're going through, not for your benefit, but for the benefit of those around you.
Amen.
Woo! And David knew, hey, this is no more. This is no more than an opportunity for God to be revealed and for the people to see God in this situation. A lot of times we may face the giant. I thought about the movie, Facing the Giants, and I don't have time to talk about that. But there's something that was in David's heart, and that must be something in our heart today. And that is simply this: is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for Thomasville Church of God to be here? I don't know about you, but I'm not satisfied right now. Souls need to be saved. Souls need to be saved. And I believe that with everything within me. So David again, David saw past his enemy to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. We are fortunate to have the Bible and we can read the story. Now watch this. The second thing I thought about was here in verse number 32. And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Let no man's heart fail because of him. Let no man's heart fail because of him. I got to say that this way. The devil might be messing, but God's not finished blessing. Hello, somebody. Don't lose your heart in the middle of the battle. When you're going through it, and I've been through things, and I'm going to probably have a few more things I'll face in the future. But here's the thing. Don't lose your heart for God, even though you're in the heat of the battle. David was there at the battle. It was in disarray. I mean, it was chaotic. They were slinging, and they were knocking, and they were cutting. David said, I can do something about this. I'm the anointed of God. David already knew that. You know that you and I this evening, I know the Bible says that pride cometh before a fall, and a haughty spirit before destruction. But I believe this. There's a certain level. Watch this, please. There is a certain level of confidence in God that, Brother Charles, that must return to the people of God. We are not victims. We are not. We're victorious. We're God's people.
Amen.
And a lot of times we're just like the few that come out of the children of Israel as they went in and they looked at the land. Oh, there's great big grapes over there, and we got it on our stalks, and we're bringing it back into the promised land. Two of them seen the grapes, but the rest of them saw nothing but giants. And you and I, in the year 2022, we got a decision. Either we see the glory of God and we see the grapes, or we see the giants. Oh, we look like grasshoppers in our own eyes. I've encouraged myself. I've talked to myself that way before. I'll never make it. I'm doomed, and I'm little, and I'm small, and I'm just a nobody in a somebody's world, and I'll never be able to accomplish anything in my life. See, that's the voice of the enemy, and that's what the enemy wants you to hear. Oh, the Bible says that we're more than conquerors. And God is bigger than us. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's within you than he that's in the world. Hey, what are you talking about, preacher? I'm saying that you've got a great big God on the inside of you. And David, when I think about David this evening, I think about David already being anointed. I think about David already looking at Goliath. I don't know. I'm just imagining it in my own mind. I think that David is already looking at Goliath and saying, hey, I got you, old boy. I know he didn't use a knife, but he said, I got you, old boy. You might be loud, and you might be ugly, and you might be mean, and you might have defied the army of God up until now, but I've got a plan, and my God's got a plan. See, with that, I said all that to say this, that Goliath may be big, but God is bigger. And he said, let no man's heart fail because of him. Let me put a P.S. at the end of the letter. Okay? The P.S. at the end of the letter is this. That Satan is already defeated. Somebody told me this week that somebody says all the time, well, I've been fighting the devil all week long. Why are you fighting him? You ain't supposed to fight the devil. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. And when you've done all to stand, stand against the wiles of the devil. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's like a battle's going on. But we don't have to be in a constant spiritual combat against the forces of hell, even though it implies that in the scripture, and I understand the concept. But again, when we think about the mind of David, again, this was just a quote that I've seen in, for consideration. We see that David, that the mind of David could have been a very positive mind, one that sees the invisible. I believe it's a dreamer. One that sees the invisible. God, I don't see it yet, but I believe the answer's on the way. God, I've not seen a manifestation of it, but I believe it's on the way. And again, I won't go into my process right there, but I do believe when you think about what the Bible says, David had not yet seen this happening, but he sees the invisible, feels the intangible, and he achieves the impossible. I want to say that again. David at this time in his life, he sees the invisible, he feels the intangible, and achieves the impossible. Oh, God. I might be getting a little bit older than I was a few years ago, but I still think there's a whole lot of good things can happen at the Thomasville Church of God. I am not in any way, shape, form, or fashion looking for anything or to go anywhere to do anything different than I'm doing right now. The only thing I want to do is see this church grow and see God touch this community like we've never seen before. Oh, and I want to shout the victory all the way to heaven. And I don't know how many people with me tonight, but I believe that God still has a plan for Thomasville Church of God. And I, as of yet, am not willing to curl up and die, roll up in a corner somewhere, cover up my head and worry about what the devil's doing to us. Oh no. No, I'm not there. I'm not at that. Oh no. No way. You say, well, I can't do what I used to do, but do what you can. You may not be able to do what you used to do, but do what you can while you can. David sees the invisible, feels the intangible in order to achieve the impossible. There are those that begin to say, David, you can't do this. How many naysayers do you know? Hello? You can't do this. David was a little ruddy guy, just a little small guy. You can't. Look at this next verse. He says it here in verse 33. And he says, and Saul said to David, now look at this word. And again, these are the words that jump off the page at me. Thou art not able. I'm letting that sink in. I'm not at a loss of words. How many times have the devil come to you and how many times has the devil come to me? He said, you can't do that. You can't achieve that. You can't achieve this. You can't do this anymore. And you know when a church is defeated? It's when the church quits trying. Somebody says, well, we've never done it that way before. I got a word from heaven for you. Big deal. Well, we've tried that, and it failed. Big deal. Let's try something different. Let's do it again. Oh, I'm going to get mean for a minute. I don't mean to get mean. Well, we're a traditional church, and we've always done it that way. We want to do it. We don't want to try nothing else. We don't want to do anything else. The men that sat at the gate of the city, they were lepers, and they said, are we going to sit here till we die? And said, at least, my goodness, let us get up and go into Ziklag. Let us go up into the other city. Hey, if we're going to die, we can die there just like we can die here. And they got up and they went into the city. They went into and they possessed all that was in the city. I understand that. But see, my point of this message is this. Is there not a cause? At least we got to try. At least we've got to have a vision. At least we've got to at least put our best foot forward. Hello? And there's things I want to work on as a pastor, and there's needs that I'm working on as a pastor. But I want to tell you this. We need each other. You don't know how much we need each other until you don't have each other. Amen? Hello? Let me say that again. I think my mic went off for a minute. You don't know how much you need each other until you don't have each other. Hello? We need each other. You need the person sitting beside you, believe it or not. Whoever they may be, you need one another. And Saul looked at David and he says this. He says, you're not able to do this. Now, in all practicality, I thought about that. In all practicality, I was sitting there as I was reviewing my notes today. And in all practicality, you and I both and all would agree, David, you are doomed for destruction. He's going to kill you and chew you up and spit you out like a piece of cotton candy. And Saul said, don't do this. You're not able to do it. In reality and practicality, Saul was probably correct. But Saul didn't know what David knew. And we look at this and we think about how are we talking to each other? Are we encouraging one another? Are we building one another up on what does the Bible say? The most holy faith. Hey, we're all different. I've told you that for years. We're all different. Some people like vanilla and some people like chocolate, but we're all different. We can all work together. Every now and then when I'm at Dario, I get a swirl and it's chocolate and vanilla mixed. And I still like it. In other words, you have to try something new every now and then. You might like it. But we were told here again, Saul was telling David, you can't do this. And I thought about how sometimes we can talk ourselves out of victory and you can talk somebody else out of victory before the battle's even begun. Can't do that. I wasn't around when nothing around here that's built. I was not around when it was built. And somebody says, well, have you ever built a church or you've done anything like that? Yes, years ago. We built a brand new church. While this church was being built, I had just left a brand new church in Waynesville that we built. And I thought I would be there forever. I had no intentions of going anywhere, no intentions of doing anything. Sherry and I was in St. Louis, Missouri. She rolled over on a Thursday morning. We was a general assembly. She said, we're leaving Waynesville. And I said, and you're crazy too. I ain't leaving nowhere. And she looked back at me and said, you'll find out. And 15 months later, through my misery and my stubbornness, on a Sunday morning at 5 o'clock, Brother Sparks, at 5 o'clock in the morning, I finally throwed my hands up in the air in the bed at 5 o'clock in the morning. I said, okay, God, you win. And that was way back in the day. And I said all that to say this. There are those that will tell you, I don't know how all this came together, but there was those that would tell you, you can't do that. You'll never be able to accomplish that. You might as well just throw in the towel. And that kind of talk, you get that in your psyche, if you will, in your mind, and you feel defeated. You feel defeated before you even get the opportunity to start the process. Turn that down. Before you even start. And I don't want that in us. And again, I'm just preaching what I felt like that God was in my heart. David saw this battle, but Brother West, I think David, in that warrior mentality, I think he already seen Goliath. I think he wanted to fight Goliath. I think he wanted to put God on display. I think that he needed the people that was near him to see, look what the Lord has done. A lot of times our test, as we've talked about that, and people have talked to me about it, is nothing more than to get you from where you're at to where you know you need to go. Again, when we think about this, David and Saul has this conversation. You look at the first part of chapter 33. And he says this. He says, you're not able to go against the Philistine. Again, practicality, we would say that. And fight against him. Look in the middle part of verse 33. Brother Chris, this is for you. He said, but you're just a youth. You're just an itty-bitty, teensy-weensy. You're a youth. And what are we doing to encourage our youth? Our youth need mentors, and they need the older people. They need you, and they need me to encourage them in their walk with God. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse number 1 actually says that. And he says in the Word, and he says this, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth. Again, when we look at this in the Scripture, again, I'm not going to turn back there and read it all, but we can see in chapter number 16 and verse number 7, again, it talks about him being a youth right there. Let me meddle for a minute. When, right after I got saved and got in church, Sherry and I was at the Mountain View Church of God in Canton. We had a few young boys. We had a few kids in a Sunday school class. It's junior Sunday school class, probably 7, 8 year old. They let me teach a Sunday school class of 7 and 8 year old kids. And I thought to myself even then, that they trusted me. That they had enough confidence in me as a 19-year-old to so, hey, I'll say this, Chris, we'll move on. As far as getting the other students to be mentors for other students, I was 19 and I was teaching a Sunday school class. Now, little did I know, probably later on in life, I found out how, as a pastor, it's hard to get people to take classes and it's hard to get people to commit classes. I was probably their last choice and their only choice. But Brother Charles, God began to develop me there. And I began to do other things and do other things and other things in the church. So when we think about the youth, he said, thou art but a youth. Paul told Timothy, and I believe this with everything within me, the young people today can make a difference. Paul told Timothy, when I look at this in the Scripture in 1 Timothy 4 and verse number 12, he says here in the Word, to let no man despise thy youth. And I said every bit of that to say that God can still use our young people today. We need to give our youth spiritual responsibilities and dreams and opportunities so that they can develop the way that God wants to develop them. Again, when you think about this, there are those that would intimidate our young people and tell them, your time will come. But David said to Saul in verse 33, I'm sorry. He says, for thou art but a youth. And then he talks about Goliath, and he said, this man Goliath, he didn't use his name there. He says that this man of war, he has been a man of war from his youth. I'll tell you what happened to me there. If Goliath was trained to be a man of war from his youth, look at our culture today. Look at our young people today. Fighting and squabbling and killing and shooting and gang, all the mess that's going on with our young people. Somebody's taught them how to do that. Somebody taught Goliath how to war from his youth. And my thinking on that was simply this. If we can teach young people how to be gangsters and teach them how to do all these other wicked and evil things like Goliath from his youth, we can teach young people how to serve God. We got to see young people through a different perspective. People say, well, they're the church of tomorrow. They're also the church of today. So there's a lot of stuff that's in my heart now that I believe that we can do, we need to do, and hopefully we will do in the future around our young people. If we only look at them as a youth without any potential, without any prospect of being more than what they are right now, we will never grow a youth group and we'll never grow the church with young people. Now, I'll move on off of that. We see here again in the Word of how that Saul was there and how that David was there. Let me find my notes. And we see this again where he says, David here puts his credentials on display. Not only does he put his credentials on display, watch this. David not only had the confidence in himself, but the confidence in God. Talking about young people, talking about us. Two things here. First of all, David, let me say it like this first, and then I'll flip it. David had confidence in himself. And there's a difference. There's a good confidence. There's a bad confidence. There's this thing called egotistical pride that I don't even get into. Think more of himself than you ought. But I'm going to tell you something. When you come from the background that I come from, I'll talk about me. I can't talk about nobody else, not even Sherry. My mom was an introvert. She's probably listening right now. My mom was an introvert. My mom was not social. She was fine just being very antisocial. And us kids, we were kind of raised that way. And I never dreamed that I would be doing the things I'm doing now, honestly. Many of you are raised probably a lot poorer than what I was. Yet when you grow up in school, and you know something's crazy, and don't get mad at me. I was ashamed to wear pants with holes in them because I was poor. And now you can go over here at Ross and TJ Maxx, and they cut the holes all up and down them. I got made fun of when I was a kid for wearing holy breeches. But now it's in style, and I don't get it. I just don't get it. It's in my mind. I'm going, I don't get this. Pay $90 for a pair of cut-up breeches. But see, those are those things that happened in my life that held me back for so long of having self-confidence. Now, Janice is with me. Mama Jay's with me. I don't know about you, but that took me a long time to get out of that. Introvert, the mindset of being poor, the mindset of being rejected, the mindset of always and never being picked, Brother Steve, for being on the ball team because I couldn't throw a football and I sure as world couldn't hit a home run. I might get knocked from here to Chris. That's about as good as I could do. I was in Monroe. We had a softball team. Oh, the preacher's going to play softball. I turned 40 when I went to Monroe. So surely I could run a little bit. I can't do a whole lot of it the way I used to. Brother Don, I got out there one day and I hit the ball. Whoo, I'm good. You know, I'm trying. I got to running around the base and I lost my balance. I got to running faster than my legs could keep me. I lost my balance and Brother Charles, I just splattered all over the ground. I thought, you big dummy. Get yourself up from here. Oh, yeah, I got out. Get yourself up from here, and you don't get yourself back out here being crazy. I thought, well, at least I tried, you know. That was extra. That didn't cost you nothing. David had to talk to himself. David had to see himself as a warrior for Jesus, a warrior for God, more than defeated the way Eliab and the other one said, to get killed. Saul said, you're going to get killed. David said, you don't know what I know. There was a bear came at me, and guess what? I took him on. Amen. That bear could have sliced him up. Oh, said, hey, I didn't stop at the bear. It's right there. He said, there was a lion. Hey, the lion came, took a lamb. Look at verse 34. I'm going to wrap this up in a minute. Jody, you can come. Not yet, but you can come. Give me some slow down music, but not stopping music. Hey, it took me a while to get started, so don't stop me yet. Give me a little bit of time. Yeah, don't stop me yet. It took me a little bit to get started. Hey, look at this, verse 35. He said in the 34, the lion came, the bear come. He said, and took a lamb out of the flock. Watch this warrior spirit in him. David was the protector of the sheep. David was a protector of the flock. And I'll say this for my benefit and many others, that I want to be a protector. That's who I am. I want to be a shepherd of God's sheep. And I don't want to do it with the wrong spirit. You know, please hear my heart tonight. When you preach it your way. But I don't want to poke my chest. I want to have self-confidence. But I don't want to poke my chest out and strut around here and say, look who I am. That towel right there reminds me on a week-to-week basis, and don't touch my towel, that I'm a servant of God. Anybody that ever preaches and anybody that ever leads, anybody that ever does anything on this stage or any stage, in my opinion, you got to understand the first thing you're doing it for God and for God's glory. You're not doing it for ego. You're not doing it for just to belt, to, you know, to boast in yourself. Look at here what I've done. That's not who I am. I never have been that way. But I have struggled having the right kind of confidence. I think when David was able to take that bear and David was able to take that lion, I think it gave him the confidence that he needed, Brother West, to know Goliath ain't nothing. Goliath ain't nothing but a name. That ain't nothing but a name. That ain't going to do nothing. But I'm saying that to say this. He said when that lion and bear came and took a lamb, he said, I went up after him. I love that. I love that. Hey, not today, devil. Not today. Not today. I know the Bible says you come to kill, to steal, and to destroy, but not today, devil. Hey, a true shepherd will fight for his sheep. Hello, somebody. A hireling, when he sees the wolf coming, he'll flee and he'll leave the sheep, and the wolf will destroy the flock. Not today. Not on my watch. Not on my watch. Let me say this as I move forward. You ought to protect me as much as I protect you. If you hear any slander or gossip about me, bring that person to me. Grab them by the hand and say, hello, come on. We're going to go see Pastor Green. You need to protect me as much as I protect you. And that's not in my notes. You can check it. The truth will set you free. And David said, hey, let's go get this bear. It's got one of my lamb, one of my little sheep. Not today, devil. It gave him the confidence that he needed to be able to fight Goliath. Every now and then the church needs a few victories. Come on, somebody. You need a few victories in your life to give you the confidence to be able to fight the thing that's been trying to kill you for a long, long time. Oh, if I could sing, I'd sing, look what the Lord has done. I'd kick the teeth out of the devil right now. I get dangerous when I get like this. Because I want to shout and run and scream and holler all at the same time. Because I know what God's done. The same God that brought David out, he said, I'm going to do it again. I thought about that song, Joanne. We I don't know if we sung it here, but I thought about it and I thought about you. The battle's not mine. I went around yesterday singing it. I don't know if you picked up on it or not. The battle's not mine, said little David. The battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's time I'm in your favor. You know the story. Have you sung it? Okay, I was going to get you to sing it Sunday. We're just going to come back for round two. I caught him by the beard and I smote him and I slew him. Is there not a cause? Is there not a cause in your life to keep the victory? Is there not a cause in your life? Look at this. We're not going to go into the rest of it. We're not going to go into the latter part of it where that Saul tried to put his armor on him and all that. We're not going to get into all that. But look in this scripture right here in 35-36 and go, the servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. Let me say this, and I'm almost done. Isn't it time for you to get your joy back? Isn't it time, stand with me, isn't it time to get your strength back? Isn't it time for you to get back the relationship with God that you really want? I've got to do this the way I feel it. I don't try to pump altar services. I don't try to prime it. I don't try to do anything much. But I believe this tonight. If you take the first step, God will meet you there. If you want your joy back, if you want your victory back, if there's something that the enemy's tried to take away from you, as you step out of those pews and come toward this altar, you're just simply coming and saying, God, I'm serving you. I'm believing you, and God, I'm trusting you. And I believe as you come that God is going to bring a release over your life. And I believe you're going to get what you need back in your life again. I believe that. He says here in verse number 37, I think that's where I got to. And he says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, look at this, go and the Lord be with you. Again, David was tried to be armed with Saul's armament and all of that. David just took what he knew that had worked for him in the past, and he did it again. He took those five smooth stones in that slingshot. David took what he had proven and what he had tried, and he knew that God would not fail him. You know the story. He wound it up. He wound up that slingshot. I thought to myself, I wonder how hard, some of you guys are engineers, you can think this through. I wonder how hard that slingshot had to wind up that rock and hit Goliath in the forehead, between the eyes, and sink into his skull and knock him out. I don't know. But I tell you one thing, it must have been a whizzing when he done it. It hit him right between the eyes, if you will, sunk into his forehead, and he went down. And Goliath, what did David do? David went, took his sword, took and cut his head off, and he took it to Jerusalem. And he magnified God, and all the people seen of how that God had brought a great victory to the children of Israel. Now watch this, the last thing. When David got the victory over Goliath, Brother Cain, all the people of the city saw what took place. Now what happened? It encouraged everybody else in the church. It encouraged everybody else in the city. And all the city began to run after the Philistines as they were tucking tail and running down the road. Your victory matters to the person sitting next to you. Amen? Your victory. I want you to come and gather around this altar with me tonight. And say, God, here we are as Thomasville Church of God. We're in your hands. We are your people. Bring your burdens to the Lord. And I'm not going to lay hands on you unless you want hands laid on you. I just want us to come as a testimony of the living God. And we want to declare Jesus Christ Lord over our lives. Declare Him Lord over the church. Declare Him Lord over this house. Maybe you're here tonight and you're in a battle for your life. Maybe you're in a battle. Give that to God tonight. Give it to God in victory. Know that greater is He that's within us than he that's in the world. If God be for you, then who can be against you? Oh, the Bible says that we are more than conquerors. And God, through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, has wrought victory on the cross. And everybody in this room now, we're more than conquerors. Hallelujah. 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 Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Give up and let Jesus. Give up and let Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Maybe tonight you're facing a giant. Don't let that giant take you down. Don't let that giant be destructive over your life tonight. Oh, confess your victory tonight in Jesus' name. Oh, greater is He that's within you than he that's in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord, all over this room.
Give up and let Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Take over.
Thank you, Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Confess it tonight, church. Confess it tonight, church.
Give up.
Give up.
Let Jesus.
Lay your hand on the shoulder of that person next to you. Let's agree together for victory in the house. Give up. Come on, pray for that person. Pray for them. Pray for them. Oh, hallelujah. Give up. Jesus, take over. Thank you, Lord.
think about it.
You got a valley.
Sing it together.
Won't you give up?
Give up.
And let
Jesus
take
over. Give up. Give up. And let Jesus
take
over. Give up.
And let
Jesus.
Give a Lord a praise in the house. You say, well, what's the cause? You see, you're the cause. My soul is important to God, and I don't want to lose out with God. I want to make it to heaven. Next period of time, somebody says, is there a cause? Say, I'm the cause. He died because of me. Amen. He's not willing that any should perish, but it all would come to repentance. Amen. Anybody need special prayer around this altar tonight, Brother Jesse? Praise God. Amen. We need to pray for Francis.